Well, this morning we are continuing with our series from the Uncovered Booklet. And I know that many of you are using this in your home groups, but are also using them in twos, sharing them with a partner or a friend, or perhaps your spouse, using it in different ways, and that's how it's meant to be used. Something we can share with other people, as it gives us the evidence and the confidence to share what we believe in with those around us who perhaps are searching. And the readings that we have today continue on that theme of finding out about who Jesus is. Not who he was, who he is, because he's always been the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Over the first 3 weeks of this evidence, you've heard about the healing of the paralytic, of those friends who really worked hard to get him to the feet of Jesus, and who believed that Jesus was the one who could heal him, who could do the impossible and make him walk. And it was Jesus who spoke to them when he said, "Their faith has made him well." But Jesus gave him the gift of forgiveness, something which the man wasn't expecting. He was expecting to be healed. But Jesus knew that each and every one of us, as we've been learning, need to know that we are right with God, and that it's only Jesus who can put us right with God. And he did that by dying for us on the cross. We heard also how that can make us very generous people. As in the second week, we heard about Mary, who brought that jar of very expensive perfume to anoint Jesus for his burial. A generous gift, but to a giver who was the most generous of all. He gave to that prostitute the gift of forgiveness. And last week, with the prodigal son, the one who was to return to his father after already having received his inheritance and squandering it, to a father who was waiting for his son's return. And I think that each and every day, God is waiting for his children to return to him, both those who are completely lost, who have never known him, but also those like us, perhaps, who have had that faith and yet sometimes lose it, lose grasp of what we've already heard and learnt, and yet with the circumstances of life, we let go of it, we lose it. And today, I think that the readings we've had in many ways speak to us about that loss. It's a loss of sight. In one way or another, it's a loss of sight. In the first part of the reading, which is split into three sections, really, the first part, verses 31 to 34, is about the disciples themselves. They've been travelling with Jesus. They've learnt a lot. But they still don't really understand what the Messiah is about to do. This is the third time that Jesus has predicted his own death, persecution, and resurrection. And it's the third time that the disciples do not understand. The first time that we hear of it is on the way to Caesarea Philippi. And it occurs at the time when Peter has recognized Jesus and proclaimed him as the Messiah. But then Jesus says, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter couldn't take that on board. He said, "No, Lord." But Jesus' reply to him was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He knew that was the road he was to travel, and nothing was going to stop him from fulfilling what the Father had asked him to do. The second time, we find the disciples and Jesus travelling through Galilee. Jesus has taken them off into places where he can teach the disciples on their own. He doesn't speak to his disciples as he does to many people in parables. He speaks to them plainly. As we've already heard, he spoke to them plainly about his death, his persecution, and resurrection. And on this second occasion, he says it again. He says to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him about it. I think I'd feel like that if I'd got a really close friend, one who taught me a lot, who came to me and told me that they were going to suffer, and in that suffering also die. I think I might turn round and say, "No. No. No, that's not going to happen. I don't believe it. That can't happen. That's not how things are supposed to be." And I think that's what it was like for the disciples in many ways. "This isn't how it's supposed to be. You're the Messiah. You're the one who's going to lead us into battle like David. We're going to win that battle because you are on our side." Well, Jesus is saying, "Yes, I am on your side. But the only way to bring people to God, to bring people to faith, is by the way of love. And the way of love is the way of sacrifice. I must die that others may live. Live in the knowledge of the God who loves them so much that he allowed his own Son to die in the place of each and every one of us." A hard message to understand. A hard message to understand in a world where many, many people, as I found with the children that I taught who had severe behaviour problems, where they thought that when they did wrong, they deserved punishment. But Jesus said, "The punishment is going to be laid on me, on that cross." It's hard to accept what other people do for you in that way. I remember one of the lads I taught who'd gone to court because he'd caused grievous bodily harm to a member of staff in the home that cared for him. After the case, which was in the morning, he came back to school and he said, Miss, they've let me off. They've let me off. They shouldn't have done that. They should have sent me down." He was really, really upset because he hadn't received the punishment he deserved. He wanted to be punished. He wanted to go down so that he could feel better. But the disciples just can't see it. It's hidden from their eyes. They can't believe the truth of what Jesus is telling them. That isn't the way. And so Luke then goes on to talk about blindness in a different way. In the first one, it's about the blind beggar. A beggar, sitting by the roadside, heard about Jesus, heard about this man, heard about this man and what he'd been doing. But this man, blind while he was physically, was beginning to truly see. To see with the eyes of faith that this truly is the Messiah. And so, as Jesus goes by, as the crowd gathers around making a terrible noise, that blind beggar sitting by the roadside shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That man knew what he needed. He needed that mercy. But those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" This man had faith. He knew Jesus could do what he asked. He knew that Jesus could have mercy on him. Something that the Israelites believed only could come from God himself. But he's already called him that messianic name, the name of the promised one, Son of David. There would have been people in that crowd who knew what that meant. There would have been some in that crowd who'd have said that he was a blasphemer, in many ways, calling Jesus that. But Jesus simply asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me see again." Immediately Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." He had the sight, the spiritual sight, to see who Jesus was, to believe that Jesus could do the impossible, to have mercy on him, but also to give him the gift of sight, the thing that only Jesus could give to him. And what did he do after regaining that sight? He rejoiced. He gave glory to God. He knew where his sight had come from. And when the people saw it, they also praised God. Something happened at that time that enabled others to praise as the blind beggar, now the seeing one, praised also. And lastly, we come to Jericho and to Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He wasn't just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, a man in those days who would have been despised, who they would see as the one who cheated them, who helped the Romans to get money out of them. But Zacchaeus had also heard about Jesus. We're not quite sure what he believed at this point, but he believed something. There was something that inspired that man who was in a dangerous position in a crowd that would despise him, a vulnerable position. But what did this man do? He couldn't see because he was too short. He couldn't see Jesus. So he ran ahead. A grown man, even short, would be noticed running. But he did it. He picked up his skirts and he ran. And then he climbed a tree. How ridiculous for a chief tax collector to go climbing up a tree. People must have been a bit shocked. But he would be up in a tree where he could be seen as well as being able to see Jesus. With a hostile crowd around him, vulnerable. But this man, something, a desire in him to see Jesus, took away that fear because he truly wanted to see him. And so he climbed that tree, no matter what the consequences might have been. Up the tree he went. And what did Jesus do when he saw him? He looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, come down, for I must stay at your house today." He did such a generous thing for that man. He took the eyes of the crowd off the man in the tree to the man who was later to hang on a tree. Because the crowd were disturbed at what they heard Jesus say, he was going off to the house of a tax collector. He should be staying with them and teaching them, not going to this man's house. Jesus had no right to do that. What's up with him? But Jesus went to the house of the tax collector. And that generous act of Jesus provoked in the man a generous act of saying that he would give away four times as much to those he might have deprived. He was given the gift of faith. He'd persevered in his desire to see Jesus, and Jesus had given him the gift of faith and also the gift of forgiveness by going into that house and sharing with him. For many of us today, we can be blind, can't we? There are people who are blind physically, and I have heard of people who've been healed at Christian meetings, who've been healed of blindness. And also when I was in Malawi, lame people walking, many healings taking place in other lands. But to end this sermon, I'm going to take you back to what the blind beggar heard, what he asked for. "What do you want me to do for you? Can you see Jesus, hear Jesus saying that to you today? What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me see again." I think that word "again" is extremely important. It shows that that blind man had been able to see before. "Let me see again." Sometime in the past, he'd been able to see. And he was asking to be able to see again. I know there have been times in my life as a Christian when I've been saying that prayer, really, when I've lost sight of what Jesus has taught me, haven't grasped what it means for my life to truly take hold of what he's taught me. let go of it through one reason or another. And yet Jesus has brought me back to that point again where I said, Jesus, let me see again. So let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that you are the one who comes alongside us, that when we go astray, Lord, you are always the one who's still there waiting for us to just turn and ask for your help once again. Lord, give us eyes to see what we need in this day and to ask you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.